as we together study the Word of Almighty God. It's Thursday, and we are in the Word. We are in 2 Peter. We've been going through this series on odd days, because our main series here lately has been through Bible prophecy. And certainly, as where Peter's going to be here today, false teachers we're looking at. And boy, I'll tell you, nothing made him madder than a false teacher. He just had no tolerance for them. Anyone who was going to deceive the church. Remember, now when the Lord Jesus looked at Peter and said to him, "Feed my lambs and tend my sheep." The utmost command that he gave him. To see people come up against that really made him mad. So he has a real hatred for, not for the person maybe, probably remorse or sorrow for the person, but for what they were doing. Oh boy, he did not like that. So this is where we're at here. We're in 2 Peter here today. This weekend, I invite you to Island Community Church, where we are continuing our series through Bible prophecy, what'll be the sign of your coming. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 24 this weekend. Love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Okay, let's hear the last part of this message now. The Apostle Peter preaching on false teachers. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. And let's pick it up in verse 20. Okay, now God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, arise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." So Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God, all right, now what's not written here is apparently he must have broke that commandment for God to be so sore at him. Verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, all right, now, I'm trying to think of what voice do I want to use to do this donkey. Thank you. Who said that? Eeyore. Why have you done this? Well, I mean, imagine this donkey. Eeyore, what have I done to you that you've struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, look at this conversation between this pagan prophet and the donkey. Balaam says to the donkey, he answers the donkey. First of all, what have I done to you? So Balaam says to the donkey, because you've abused me. I wish there was a sword in my hand, I'd smite you. So the donkey says to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? So he says, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And if that's not bad enough, verse 32, then the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? The Old Testament sometimes, I love these stories in the Old Testament. Why have you, really? Is that what you want to know? The angel of the Lord is the Lord. There's a half a dozen appearances of him in the Old Testament. Maybe a dozen. And what does he want to know? Why? Tell me there's not humor in the Bible. Why have you hit your donkey? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. That is because he was selling prophecies for money. The angel of the Lord continues. Verse 33. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I've sinned. There's the difference. Immediate repentance is what's required. When you do that against God, when I do that, you see, God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish. But when God shows you your sin and what you've done, this is the correct response. I've sinned. That's what he said here. I have sinned. I did not know. You stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, no, you go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, Balaam gave some awesome prophecies. If you read further on, some great quotes that we know came from him. He also had a great vision of Jesus coming when he says, behold, I see a star off in the distance. It's one of the great prophecies of the coming Messiah came from this guy, this pagan prophet, who for whatever reason, God chose to use. But his response is key to see there. Immediately, he repented of the sin that he committed. All right, now, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, he tells us that these people have a reservation. The blackness of darkness. Wow, that sounds like a dark place. What do you think? Blackness of darkness is reserved for them. Like going to a wedding, having one of those little cards waiting for you on the table. Verse 17, these are wells without water. That is, they represent God. They ought to have water in them. They ought to have the water of eternal life in them, but they're empty. They got nothing to satisfy and quench your thirst. They're wells. And no water in there. It's just dust. Wells without water. They're clouds carried by a tempest. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I can't stress it enough. How those that represent or speak for God are going to be treated different than other people are. Personally, I cannot recall in my lifetime a false prophet who has ever repented or turned from his evil ways. I don't know one. I don't know one. I've never heard of one. Because you need help in order to do this, church. Repentance is a gift. It's a gift from God. God gives it to you. You don't have it on your own. You don't have what it takes on your own, saying to God, my bad. For a life of evil is not going to save you. The early church used to pray for what they called the tears of repentance. That is, that you would have a genuine repentance and mean what you say. To repent, to use a term in the Air Force, is to do about peace. You turn 180 degrees and you go the other way and you leave your junk behind. It doesn't mean my bad and you keep doing what you're doing. It means you respond like this man here. I've sinned. God have mercy on my soul. And just like Jesus said, you see two people, one guy goes, oh, look at me. I give 80% of what I make to the Lord. I go to church 9 times a week. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you got another guy over here, it says he won't even look up to heaven. And just says, God have mercy on my soul. It's the third time this week I've done this. And Jesus says, which one of these two do you suppose went home forgiven? It's the man with the genuine repentance went home forgiven of God. That's what he's looking for, a genuine repentance for what you've done. That's all we've got to do. He paid the price. He paid the price. So that you and I hear me today, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, Jesus Christ has paid it all. All to him we owe. Our sin has left a crimson stain. He's washed it white as snow. Amen. Right. I think of Isaiah chapter 1 again. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will cleanse you and wash away all of your sins because of what the Son of God did on the cross. That's the response he's looking for. But you're not going to feel that remorse without God giving that to you. God gives you the ability to have Have you ever met anyone out here today that didn't repent of what they did? There's 4 billion of them out here in the street today. People that kill other people and don't give a rip. People that hurt animals and hurt people and don't care about. That's what it looks like. That's what life looks like with no repentance. Without the Holy Spirit of God leading you to repent. That's what it looks like. It's ugly. It's an ugly scene. Again, that's why I said you can't spend your life living like a devil. And then right before you die, just say, my bad. If you are truly alive, you won't live like that anymore. You can't live like that anymore. I'll tell you why. Because God's got you in his grip. Right? Right? How about you? Are you in God's grip today? Question. What are you chained to? Are you a slave of sin? Or of righteousness? You're chained to something. You're a slave of something. What are you a slave of? What are you a slave of? Okay. It's 11:30. We can either say goodbye or look at one more section. The eyes have it. Last section. The deception of false teachers, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, what a saying that is. Great swell, meaning they're full of hot air. Turn on your television. When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones that have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Like I said, these teachers are just, false teachers are blowing hot air. Great swelling words of emptiness. And they entrap people by the same things that they were delivered from, like offering cocaine or whiskey to an addict, or a lottery ticket to a gambling addict, or a win, place, and show ticket from the track. And they promise you liberty. And the lie they spin to you is like this. Well, you've already been forgiven of all your sins, right? Right? Even the sins you're going to commit in the future, right? Right? So since God has already forgiven you, it doesn't matter how you live, right? Wrong! So eat, drink, and be merry, it goes. And that, church, is when truth plus truth plus truth equals a lie. Isn't that funny? How you take three truths and add them together, other than it's all right to sin. You've already been forgiven? Yes. You're going to be forgiven of the sins you commit tomorrow? Yes. But don't draw the wrong conclusion with that. The Bible says, which they so willingly are ignorant of, and that's this, 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in him, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor has known him. All right, now let me explain this to you. The word here for sin means an ongoing thing. That's why in my Bible and others I've seen adds the words practice, like practicing your trumpet or your sousaphone. Practice. It's an ongoing thing, not someone who slips up in sin, because John's going to go on and say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So understand what he's saying here. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins, present active, whoever continues to sin for a lifestyle, we could say, has neither seen him nor has known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, there's the word, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Let me try that again. Whoever has been born of God does not practice sin as a lifestyle. Does that make everyone feel better? Otherwise, of being here, I'd be the only one in here next week. Anyway, meditate on that for the next 20 years. Here's the last three verses of chapter 2. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again. Notice how much time he is spending on this. These other guys, they maybe give you one verse to beware of. Man, he had a serious problem with these people, with false prophets. Look at all that he's written, more than anyone, more than all the Bible combined, is what Peter thinks about people that are deceiving the children of God. For if, verse 20, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. All right, so my last few words again on this morning. These verses I read to you in 1 John, they seem hard to attain. But this is God's will for you. And praise God, you have got this promise to help you along. Okay? Number one, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, God's working in you, and he's going to do this work in you until either he comes back or you die and leave this world. It's not your burden. Which leads me to promise number two. Also out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will, that is to come up with the notion to want to do good, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So that might be what he wants for us. The child of God does not practicing sin. We're not there yet. But keep in mind and always remember that God's at work in you. Both to will, that is to come up with the idea to do good, and the strength to do it comes from him. And he who has begun the good work in you will complete it.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
There's so much we don't know. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with a point. According to National Geographic, more than 80% of the ocean has never been mapped, explored, or seen by humans. And new research is showing us another, smaller frontier with just as much mystery, the cell. A recent article in Quantum Magazine reported on how scientists from the University of Illinois have embarked on an ambitious project to map, using computers, a complete simulation of a minimal cell. At 493 genes, the lab-made cell they're mapping contains far fewer genes than even the simplest natural organism. But the challenge is steep. For example, no one knows what 94 of those genes do except that the cell dies without them, the author wrote. One of the researchers suggests there could be living tasks or functions essential for life that science is oblivious to. The more we learn, the more we should be filled with awe. As Casey Luskin with Evolution News put it, high information structures like these only have one known source, intelligence with a designer behind it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout displayed.